call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing everyone here today. Please guide this meeting this evening. In your name we pray, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant? He did notify us he would be able to attend. Councilmember Lane? He also notified us he would be able to attend. Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca? She notified us.
Here.
Mayor Pierce.
Here.
You have a
quorum. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have one individual signed up this evening, Stephanie Faulkner at 3919 Ackerman, regarding the budget workshop. Our next item is 6A, so it's up to you.
So now that I'm on this side as a citizen, the two major things, if you're on any social media, two major things that go on are fix the streets and code compliance. And so I know that one of the budget items tonight is the possibility of adding another code compliance officer, although it may not be a police officer. So here are some things I know to be facts. Our city has expanded. I was lucky enough to be a part of that when that happened. We've added new businesses, which require licensing and permitting, not to mention the upkeep and the appearance and any complaints that may go on. We currently have 3,600 structures in the city. That's an astronomical amount for one person to tackle. And I've heard it said that patrol officers should be able to do code enforcement. Well, here is something that I thought about in my own education. I'm a teacher. I teach adapted PE for special needs. It's exclusive. It is an excessive amount of training. Can a third grade teacher do my job? Probably. Would they do it well? No. I would probably spend more time going back and fixing the mistakes because of the lack of knowledge, the lack of training, and the lack of experience. And so for that reason, I am all for the code compliance officer being something that's pushed forward in this year's budget. I'm also, of course, all for anything that maintains any services here in the city for our citizens and anything that's going to benefit our employees and help them efficiently perform their jobs. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. There is no one else signed up this evening, so we will move into the agenda item for the budget workshop. Item 6A, discussion and direction of the proposed general operations, police, animal services, fire, park, streets, and water fund budgets for fiscal year 2019-2020. I will turn this over to our city manager.
All right, so Mayor and Council, the way we would like to conduct our workshop, really similar to what happened last year. Before we get our tax information from Bexar County Appraisal District, which is due to us next week, we wanted each department to have an opportunity to present capital budget item requests that they have. So that's anything that is $5,000 or more, usually one-time expenditures. And so we have put together a spreadsheet for each of those. They have little boxes next to them where as you go through tonight and you may have questions, you will be able to just check whether or not you'd like to see us included or not included in this budget. Does not mean that's a final decision. It just means those are items that you want us to pursue putting into the budget once we get final numbers and actually bring you back a proposed balanced budget. So I'll start with the general fund, which should be the first page that you have. Currently, the city uses Tyler Technologies, or the ENCODE system, for our accounting and our municipal court and our utilities. We recently talked to some of the representatives and a couple of other cities and learned that Tyler Technologies also has some other systems. They have a police management system, which we'll learn about later. They also have a system that does permitting, licensing, your building inspections, and a service call center that will allow you to track complaints or concerns. And it would be a little bit more interactive than what we're using with NICO. So one of the things that we're proposing is to do away with the MyGov system and go to this ENCODE system. So it would be $20,581 to get it installed. And then annually, we would have to pay a fee of $10,541 to keep that system. The second thing that we're proposing, and again, these are in general operations, the council chamber floors here in the back, especially over on the side where the staff is sitting back there, a lot of the floor tiles are coming loose. In the lobby area, a lot of those floor tiles are also coming loose. We had the ones replaced in the hallway because they were damaged, but in order to replace the entire council chamber, because they can't purchase just a piece, they no longer make this tile, we have to replace the entire flooring. That cost estimate is $8,860. And so that would also include wooden baseboards all along this room and our foyer. So those are the only requests in that general operations portion. Some additional budget considerations that you all asked us to bring back at budget season was the newsletter publication, when we heard a presentation from Neighborhood News a few months ago, and it was about $8,000 to do the bi-monthly newsletter mail out to the residences here. So we listed that as a cost to consider. And then in our current budget, we have the $20,000 allocated for a nonprofit grant program. This year, we gave $5,000 to four different entities. They have all been mailed letters inviting them to the first council meeting in August to present to us what they used the money for and how that went. But we wanted to give you opportunity to consider whether or not we want to include that grant in next year's budget. Any questions I can answer for you on these?
On the software, what is our annual fee now for MyGov?
So for MyGov, we pay it's a little over $600 a month. So
$7,200.
Yeah. And that's correct, right? That's right.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. For
so like $7,200 a year.
And other than other than it being a little bit, I guess, more compatible or usable, is there any other savings as far as?
Yeah, one of the other benefits for us, maybe not necessarily savings, but the systems would all talk to each other. So our, for example, we have seven users right now who are on the ENCODE accounting side. So those seven users would have access to this system. So for example, if a person called and had an inquiry, maybe about a code violation, right now only, I think, two logins exist for the code section of the MyGov, and only maybe two logins exist for the permit section of the MyGov. So these folks would have the ability to log in and answer a question rather than having to take a message or refer that to another department. So we looked at that as a benefit. So it may potentially cost a little more for the service, but at least everything would be on.
Just to add to the beginning point of the 20,000, it could go down a little bit depending on the number of hours that they train as well. The one time
would it be any more than that? Is there a...
For travel expenses, potentially, because they come from out of town, and what is it, 88 hours, I think they quoted us. In this amount, we get up to 88 training hours, so we may not need all of that. However, we may have to pay the gas reimbursement for the trainer to come down.
Would it be a group training, or would they be training a super user?
Group training. Now, if we potentially wanted them to come and do, one person maybe some additional training,
$30,000 for the first year plus anything for travel fees or extra training expenses?
No, just the 20 that first year. We wouldn't have to pay the additional 10 until the following fiscal year.
I mean, they would offer
contact
customer service support just like we do here. We'd also have that customer service support as well. So if they ever get into a bind with something, they will be able to call them.
Good evening, everyone. This year, for capital requests for the police department, I've only got it limited down to three categories. The first thing I'd like to talk about are replacement vehicles for some of the Chevy Tahoes that we have. Currently, the fleet consists of four Chevy Tahoes, one of which was bought in 2009. It's a 2010 model that we got in 2009, and the other three are 2013. Models that we got at various times between 2012 and 2013. The mileage and the repair bills, wear and tear on these vehicles are becoming excessive. They've been a major drain on fleet maintenance, and they spend about as much time in the repair shop as they do on the road. So what I'm requesting is funding to replace two of these four units. Right now, the unit itself, the cost of the unit is roughly $37,000 per vehicle, and then the remaining funds for equipment, graphics, I have included a price that would cover all new equipment in the vehicles. That brings the cost of each individual unit up to $55,000. However, once we get the vehicles in hand, we will transfer equipment, any equipment that fits out of a Chevy Tahoe that will fit into these new Ford Explorers will be used. We won't be replacing radar units, radios, computers, but things like center consoles. If the center console will fit, we'll reuse it. The Fords are much smaller than the Chevys, so if the light bar will fit, we'll reuse the light bar. But I included an amount of money within the bid on the equipment in the event that we do have to replace a new light bar because it won't work. So that information or that number of $55,000 will come in. I expect that it will come in less than that because the equipment that we can reuse rather than having to buy new. The second item on the list, as the city manager was talking about in moving some systems at City Hall to Tyler Technologies, we're faced with a situation at the police department with our current records management system. In 2011, we signed on board with a vendor known as CopSync. CopSync has been a fairly good program for us over the years, but 2 years ago, the company filed for bankruptcy. The company was bought out by another company called CoLogic, which does similar work but primarily in Louisiana, and they bought CopSync they saw an opportunity to branch into Texas. For 2 years, they have supported CopSync, but what I am getting now is CopSync is coming to its end of life, and while it will continue to work, probably within the next 18 to 24 months or so, they're going to stop supporting it. So if it breaks, we won't be able to call them and have them fix it. I think they're doing this as a precursor to presenting one of their own records management programs, specifically a Cologic, which is supposed to be very big within Louisiana, but nobody here in Texas uses it. What I would like to present is a move to Tyler Technologies and ENCODE, and for a number of reasons. If within the next 18 or 24 months we're going to be forced to change software anyways, whether it's a Cologic, ENCODE, and there are several other manufacturers out there, I'd like to go with Tyler Technologies for several reasons. One, police department will already talk. Sorry about that. We'll already talk to the court because court's already on Tyler Technologies ENCODE. And as the city manager explained, if call center is approved, all the systems will talk together. Additionally, probably about 75% of all the police departments and law enforcement agencies within Bexar County and the ACOG area are on some form of Tyler Technologies, be it ENCODE or Brazos. They're all in that ENCODE or that Tyler Technologies umbrella. Over recent months, the district attorney's office has made several policy changes as it comes to low-level marijuana, the cite and release program. Now changes with the new hemp law are going to require how we report criminal offenses with marijuana differently. Next week, I'm scheduled to attend a meeting at the district attorney's office where Tyler Technologies is going in within their ENCODE Tyler Technologies program. They're going to create a module that the district attorney's office is going to put in place to where we submit all of these forms electronically. Right now, the way we're doing it now is we come into one of these cases, they have to be hand carried to the district attorney's office, usually by one of the detectives when they refile a case. The district attorney's office has not said they're going to mandate electronic filing of cite and release in these low-level cases, but I would expect at some point they're going to do that. Right now, when they go to this program, we'll still be able to hand-walk the cases. But circling back to the original request, I do think within the next 18 to 24 months we're going to have to change vendors anyways. Tyler ENCODE, Tyler Technologies ENCODE, is the best option that we have. To be able to do that, the initial purchase to get all of the computers at the police department, all the laptops, training, and all the rest of that converted over would be approximately $60,500 with an annual reoccurring fee of $8,304, I believe is what it was at, which is about $4,000 less than what we're paying for CopSync. Our annual renewal fees for CopSync is just over $12,000 a year. The third item that I'd like to address is upgrade and replacement of the security cameras at the police department. Currently, we have 12 cameras on two separate systems. One system that was installed back in 2010 when we moved the dispatchers out of the police department down to the fire station. One of the things that we relied on our dispatchers was to do 15-minute prisoner checks whenever you're a prisoner in a holding cell. Sometimes the officers have to go on other calls while we're waiting to transport to the jail. So we relied on the dispatchers to, you know, cut across the booking area, peek in the window, make sure that the prisoners were still okay, they hadn't tried to hurt themselves or they weren't in any type of distress or anything like that. So when we moved them down to the fire station, we installed cameras in the jail cell. That is a four-camera system that has got one camera in each of the two cells, one in the booking area and one in the lobby. That camera system has been non-functional for about 6 months. Can't be replaced. The software is so old where when we upgraded the computers through RRPG, the new computers can't support the old software. They don't make a version of the software that'll work with the new computers. So the option that we have right now is just to replace it. The second system we have, we installed approximately 5 years ago. It's a just a simple system. These cameras watch the exterior of the building, the sally port, the approaches to the building, the parking lots, and that sort of stuff. But that's an older system. It's about time to upgrade it. So what I'm proposing is an approximately $5,450 to upgrade the both of the systems, combine them into one. This would replace, because they sell in units of eight. This would replace the 12 cameras on one system and the four cameras on the other, plus give us an expansion of four additional cameras that will determine where best place to put them within the building itself. So, and like I said, that is estimated to cost $5,450. And that is all that I have for the police department. There be any questions before I moved on to animal services? Okay. So we have one line item under animal services, and this is going to be a shelter upgrade project, which is going to involve or focus on two main areas. The first off, as you know, we had an unannounced health inspection by the state. They came in, did rabies control, made sure our quarantine. The only deficiency that we had, and it wasn't anything to shut us down, was that they are recommending that we reseal the floor. This floor was resealed when the building was originally built, 2011-ish, plus or minus. It hasn't been resealed since then, and there are spots where the sealant or paint has wore off, and you can see exposed concrete, and that can be a vector for disease control, okay? And certain parvo, that sort of stuff, the viruses and diseases can live within the concrete because it's porous. So they highly recommended we reseal the floor. The second part of the project would involve the installation of covers over the outside portion of the kennels. As you know, our building is equipped with 16 kennels that are approximately 12 feet long, 6 foot on the inside of the kennel, 6 foot on the outside, with a guillotine type door so that the you know, during normal days, the door is open and the dog can move inside and outside. But for cleaning, we usually shoot a dog outside, close the door, clean the kennel. Once it's clean and disinfected, then open the door, let them back in and clean the other side. The outside portions of the kennels, they're out there. It's hard to do on rainy days. It's hard to do like on days today when the heat index is 100, 102 degrees. Bright sunshine beating down on the animals. So what we're wanting to do is erect what amounts to like a patio cover or a carport cover along the length of both sides of the building, just high enough to provide shelter from direct sunlight and the rain, well, rains when it happens. The estimate that we got on that would put about $4,900, and that would cover both phases of that project. Resealing the doors and creating the overhang, the covers on both sides of the building. And that is the only thing that we have for capital improvements on animal services.
On the resale for the floor, does it say how long it would last?
No, we haven't gotten into that. And another project that we're going to, or thing hurdle we're going to have to, is exactly how to do it. Because like any, it's a paint-based product, and like any product, it's going to require some drying time, so you can't paint it and let the dogs back in. So we're going to have to coordinate with the staff, see if there are some of our partners out there in some of the other cities that could babysit some of our animals. And the plan right now is to do half first. Once it's dry, then move on to the second half. Then that way we're only having to deal with temporary housing for half of the population in the shelter. So.
Questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Next, Chief.
Come on down.
Okay. Madam Mayor, council members, I have four items on our proposed budget for next year. First item is going to be our hoses.
Wrong way. There you go.
First item is going to be our hoses. If you recall last year, we came to council requesting $10,000 to replace our existing hose. We were granted $5,000, so this request is for basically the second half, which is an additional $5,000 to complete the $10,000 to complete all the hose replacement. That's the first one. Our second one, I think it's coming up. No. Oh, there it is. Okay, our second one is going to be, these are Stryker stair chairs. We use stair chairs in our EMS. The chairs are used, for instance, when we go to the apartment complex, 2644, if we got to go upstairs, have to bring a patient down, whether it be a patient that's non-ambulatory, we can't take the entire stretcher up. What we do is we put them onto a stair chair and we lower them down the stairs by hand. Our original ones, if you look there, our original, the green one on the right is our Model 42 Furno. Those are 14 years old. We bought those in 2005. What we're proposing to do is to upgrade to the ones on the right, which have a greater weight capacity. They also have a track system that allows us to move the patient down via like a, basically like a tank track that will conform to the step and actually aid us, as opposed to the other method, which was basically just picking up handles and walking down the steps with the patient. So what we're doing is, what we're proposing is just to upgrade the stair chairs that are in the ambulances. Seeing as how, like I said, they're 14 years old, they do have, the new ones do have a greater weight capacity, and they're just easier. In my opinion, I think it would probably aid in injury-wise, not injuring my firefighters or my EMS personnel with back issues, because they are easier to use and they're more ergonomically, you know, feasible in these days and times with the different types of terrain that we use. Also use it in the house too. There's two-story houses, there's places that we can't get a stretcher down the hallway into a room. So a lot of times we use these chairs to load the patient onto the chair, bring them out of the hallway into the living room, then we can transfer the patient from the chair onto a stretcher. Those chairs themselves are $4,000 a piece. We have two ambulances, the primary and the backup, so we're proposing $8,000 for two of them to replace both of them. It takes it a while. Third item is a replacement to the chief's command vehicle. The truck is 2010, so it's going on 10 years old. It'll be 10 years old next year. Has over 129,000 miles on it, starting to have some slight transmission issues. The quoted price there of $50,000 is for the actual chassis itself, the truck itself, also including the emergency lighting and the decals, or the lettering that would go on the truck itself. Fourth item is we're requesting to replace the chassis and the remount for Squad 5, which is our mini brush truck that we have. It is also a 2010. It'll be 10 years old next year. The reason we are proposing this is the chassis that is currently on, which is a Ford chassis. This is our, it is going on its fifth engine. It has started off with a 6.4 liter power stroke diesel engine that has failed three times. Luckily, those three times were under warranty, so they were replaced three times. The last two times, they have not been under warranty, so we have put two brand new engines in that truck. That engine itself is inherently bad. It keeps failing. So my head of maintenance, Captain Golick, suggested that we go with a Dodge chassis. The reason we wanted to go with a Dodge chassis, because both of our ambulances are on Dodge chassis. It's a very sturdy platform. We have had very minimal problems with the ambulance. So he proposed going to the Dodge chassis to keep the entire fleet on the Dodge chassis, that we would be able to service, get the same oil filters, get everything the same, everything would match up. The chassis itself, off the top of my head, I want to say runs probably around about 45,000 for the chassis. The remaining, which would be about 67,000, 68,000, would be the remounting process. The remounting would be taking the box off of the back of the truck that you see on top and basically upgrading it to 2019 or 2020 DOT standards with LED lighting, upgrading some of the features on the truck itself, and then remounting the truck with the pump and everything on the new existing chassis. So basically for $110,000, we would replace the entire brush truck, and we would, which sustainable life now, since we don't run with it as much. We still use it, but we don't use it as much now because the ESD has their own brush truck, so we have actually dual brush trucks. I foresee the life of that being, you know, well into 10, 15 years with that new chassis and a new remount of the box itself. And that's all I have.
On the command vehicle, is that a vehicle that you solely drive?
Yes, ma'am. Well, no, everybody uses it. I mean, I drive it primarily, but during
not the sole driver.
During the day. No, everybody uses it. Yes, ma'am.
So what would they use it for if they got in it?
The command vehicle? We use it. I use it primarily to go to, of course, going to meetings and stuff, but also use it for moving various types of equipment, whether it be on the fire scene. When I attend the fire scene with the guys, all the hose that has been used, we roll up the hose, put it in the back of the truck. I bring it back so it's not on the fire truck itself. Bring new hose to it, whether it's something that I need to go and help them out with, whether it be ice chest full of water for the guys, or Gatorade, ferrying personnel back and forth, equipment back and forth, gear back and forth. It's just basically a basic utility vehicle is what it is, really, to run stuff back and forth, not having to use one of the larger vehicles to do it or put in the back of an ambulance or something like that.
Anybody else have questions?
The last, the command vehicle? Yes, ma'am.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Now our Public Works Director, Mrs. Salas, will come.
I need a white sweater.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead. Good evening, Mayor, Council. We have a, we're going to start off with parks. We have $24,000 we're requesting for two Skag lawnmowers that we use to cut the parks. They cut the smaller, finer areas. They're zero turns. The two that we currently have, we replaced one the year before last. And the two older ones are going out, and we're spending quite a bit of money repairing those. They have a lot of wear and tear on them, and I think we're at a point now to where we have to replace them because we're, in fact, losing money repairing them. The next item is for the hike and bike trail, and those are going to be lights. Now, we have two options for those lights, and the lights, just to start off, the hike and bike trail is about a mile, which is 5,280 feet. Now, in order to put lighting and illuminate the area, we don't necessarily have to illuminate the entire trail, so we're able to spread those lights out about 100 feet. That being said, with the inlets, we'll be looking for about 55 poles. Now, there's two options out there, and both are ones for solar lights, which would minimize trenching, and we would not require a CPS inlets. So we'd have to have a couple of CPS meters and then pay CPS. We'll start off with the solar lighting, the 100 foot apart option. And this is a rough estimate. The actual estimate itself is being completed as we speak for both electrical and solar. So these are the ballpark estimates that were given to me when we had the meeting. For the solar powered lights, again, we wouldn't have to have an annual cost in electricity, and the batteries that they hold on those lights go for about 3 or 4 days. So if you have 4 or 5 cloudy days or whatever, they'll be able to work through that. And in Texas, we don't have that much, that many cloudy days, but we're looking at about $440,000 to $770,000 for those poles up and down the hike and bike trail. And that's because the poles are anywhere between, let's see, where's the cost estimate? $8,000 to $14,000 a piece, and that's installed with the solar lighting. The other option for CPS and to have electrical poles in, which would require 18 inches of trenching and approximately 3 to 5 meters. I'm thinking about 3 meters for CPS, depending on the volts and how far they can travel to maintain the lighting out there. And then we would need a timing system on there. So based on those rates, we're looking at about $3,000 to $8,000 per pole, and we're looking at $165,000 to $440,000 with an additional $1,418 per month, which is, let me see, I got an annual cost somewhere. I'll just do that real quick. For one item, I forgot. So that would come out to $17,016 a year for electricity on those lights. Okay. And these are, again, for the cost of the poles, the price range differs, so it's not an exact cost. So the lowest cost for the solar lights, $440, and the lowest cost for the electric poles is $165,000 plus the $17,000 for the electric, for the electricity annually. The next item is the camera system for Friendship Park and the pavilion. Now we would require a hotspot, a mobile hotspot there to monitor the 8 cameras that would be put up there. They would be mounted to the pavilion in a box above in the center of the Friendship Park Pavilion, and there would be 8 cameras installed around to see around the pavilion and inside the pavilion as well. We'll have cloud-based access to it, and we'll be able to save and monitor the same way we do with the current cameras we have at Public Works. It's basically the same system. The only difference is it has Wi-Fi, or not Wi-Fi, excuse me, it has cellular connectivity there. And the cost of that camera system is $3,750 with an additional $3,360 annually to cover the cost of cellular connectivity. Are there any questions on parks?
I have one for the cameras. So your cameras at the pavilion will not be going to dispatch where they can monitor them at nighttime?
Well, they can have access to it. What it is just like the current system that I have, if there's a login and there's a program that comes with it, they can download it onto their computer, look it up on their computer. So anytime they want to monitor it, they would just log in and open it up, or they can set up a monitor and a computer to have it
run.
So
at this point, even on your pavilions with the cameras, the police department doesn't have access to monitoring it in case they see something.
Yeah, but they do have the access. They do have access.
Do they do it?
But it's yes.
That's what I was wondering. Up and running, we're dispatched and watch them.
Yeah, no. But if we were to set that up, it would be more likely an additional computer setup so they can log into it and see it on a monitor. So it would. There's also an app as well that you can put on your phone to access the camera system. So,
$37.50, does that include, let's see, so that does not include the Wi-Fi with Sprint?
No, that's an additional cost. So it's $3,750 for the installation of the system, plus an additional $3,360 from Sprint annually. And then that cost, of course, could fluctuate.
How many problems do you have up there at the park with the pavilion without the cameras working now?
We do have vandalism occasionally on the restrooms, on the inside or on the outside of the restrooms. We also have a couple issues with people throwing trash, breaking bottles, leaving mess out there, damage to some of the tables, the barbecue pit. So I think it would be beneficial for us to see that way every single morning, 7 days a week. My guys go out there, they check on the park, they reload everything that needs to be done, they clean up a little bit, and they'll be able to notify and let me know, hey, there's an issue at the park. It happened today or last night because it wasn't like that yesterday. Look at the camera, and we'll be able to see. And then the location of the cameras are going to be, again, covering all the way around the outside of the pavilion. And on the inside of the pavilion, if you would imagine this is a pavilion right here, we'd have a camera on that corner facing in, and a camera on that corner facing in, and you'd be able to see who's walking in and where. And then one of the cameras would be facing towards the baseball field on the other side where the other building is at. We'd be able to catch any kind of vehicles that were coming in as well. Yeah, the concessions over there, yeah. Any further questions?
Sorry, I want to go backwards. When you were talking about the lights for the CPS.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sorry, we were trying to read the... It's too hard to read. Sorry, we're blowing it up on our phones. But can you go back and say or tell what the cost was, solar versus...
Yeah, the cost solar versus... Okay, CPS, for the cost of the electricity for the year would be roughly around $17,000. Okay, the cost for installation of the light poles would be anywhere between $165,000 and $440,000. And that's not including the cost of the meter, the service itself. So that's for the electric poles. The solar poles are a different story. They're quite a bit more expensive, but we wouldn't have to have that annual cost of, you know, $17,000 paying CPS. So again, these are estimates. These are rough estimates. The actual numbers I'll be getting in the next week or week and a half. So, and then the numbers I got were from here. We weren't doing from the wooden poles. We were doing from the 100-watt lamps, and then the monthly rate's $23 per pole. Well, the trail is, you know, a mile long is 5,280 feet. So originally I was thinking 50 feet, but that would have doubled the number. So we were going for 100 feet. So every 100 feet, that comes out to about 52 poles with three additional poles on the inlets coming in just to kind of illuminate the bridge, the front of the beginning of the trail where the sign is at, where it says the Timothy J. Wilson Hike and Bike Trail. And again, the inlets. So spacing them out 100 feet, it seemed to be the best option. It's still kind of far, but at least the light's going to cover an area probably around 20 feet right there. So it's going to really be about 60 feet between the light. The light's also going to be to where, and we took into consideration the residents that live there on Hickory Hill and so on, we don't want to have that light going on and shining inside of their house. So the way the light's going to be set up, where it's going to illuminate the trail, but it's not going to disturb the residents in the evening. So,
yes. Okay. For the Wi-Fi, Gilbert, have you only checked with Sprint?
Yes, that was the number that the the person that's going to be contracting the job that gave me the estimate, that's the number he gave me through Sprint, that's what they charge. And the he told me AT&T doesn't have the service, so we would probably have to go through Sprint for that type of service. Anything
else? And you believed him?
Well, for the specific hotspot they need and the amount of data, and then I guess the megabits upload and downloading speed that it requires, that's what's necessary. And they have the capabilities of doing that.
I kind of find it hard to believe that as large as a competitor as AT&T doesn't have something that's compatible.
You can look into it.
You can pit them against each other and see how low you can get it.
Any other questions about the ones that we've gone through?
Between CPS and doing the solar type, how long would we see an actual savings? If we stayed with solar, or instead of setting up with CPS to put the lights out there at the walkway?
Were you thinking about $17,000 a year? And solar would be $440,000 the minimum. So if we would go between that number.
About 6, almost 7 years, you'd start seeing those savings.
Yes. I need to do the numbers. I haven't done them. Just assuming that you've done the numbers. And
responsible for that maintenance, because I know we had gotten a quote for solar lighting for the sign on F-78, and that was one of the things the company said, is that you pay that upfront cost, they install it, and after that it becomes the city's responsibility for maintenance and repairs. Is that the same?
If I'm not mistaken, when I talked to them about that, they do have a warranty, you know, your basic factory warranty that goes, but if anything's broken, or you know, anything happens catastrophic, struck by lightning or somebody vandalizes it, then yes, we'd be responsible for it. But I do believe they have a warranty for the parts for failure. So
I think Roland did a presentation a couple of years ago when we were like maybe in 2017 early, because he was talking about, I think Councilmember Pierce brought up about solar. And he came in, it was expensive then. Right. Anything else on that? Those items? Right. Streets.
Okay. Now for streets, we had all received the street assessment from M&S Engineering, and what we're looking at to improve the streets in the best possible scenario of street maintenance and reconstruction, we wanted to get $421,200 to redo the streets. And the recommendations, the streets that are recommended to be redone are Borchers, Boatman, Blue Jay, and Buzz Aldrin. Now the outlay and everything was in that package, on that book that was there, these are the streets that require the most attention as of now. In the future, you know, it's a maintenance plan. So long as we follow that, we'll be able to redo our streets and maintain them. We just have to allot this amount of money to take care of that. And again, going back, that's one of the biggest needs within our city is street improvements and reconstruction. So, and that's the only item I have for streets. Okay, so Borchers Drive from Deer Grove to Ackerman Road, that's going to be rehabilitation, and the total cost of that will be $353,000. The slurry seal, and what slurry seal is, it's like kind of a thin liquefied asphalt that'll go over and seal the entire road, kind of make it look like new. You see them on a lot of TxDOT highways at times where you drive on the highway, you see it one day, it looks fine, and then they all of a sudden go and, you know, throw that blacktop on there and it looks real nice and smooth, but it also prolongs the life of the street itself. So that's part of the maintenance plan, you know, going and seeing the streets that need to be redone and also the ones that need to be maintained for longevity. So We have Boatman between Wheatland to Ackerman. The slurry sale on that will be $32,700. Blue Jay, Pageland Drive to Borchers will be $15,300. Buzz Aldrin from Swan to Ben Zingelman Road will be $20,200, and the total cost $421,200.
And we determine these streets solely on what we received at our last meeting as far as, or was there another reason? I mean, I know that these were in that poor category, but was there any other factors in why these streets were picked?
Well, it's a part of their assessment.
That the only reason? I mean, there was other streets that were poor, so I just didn't know if there was a specific reason why only these streets were chosen, or was the cost factor only?
Yeah, and based on the rating, it was the reason because they need it, but also again with the maintenance, it was time for these streets to be maintained, so we don't run into rehabbing Boatman or, you know, those. So we can maintain that street at the same time, redoing the streets that absolutely need it, and moving forward, again, we'll have longevity with our streets. So we'll be fixing them as we go and maintaining the ones that need it. So on the time frame and following the schedule that they put together with the allotted amounts of money for the next couple of years, these are the items that need to be done this year. Water. So our first item, as you can see on Peppermint, we have our storage tank, which is well too. That particular tank right there is in need of painting and cleaning and a safety ladder at times when we need to climb up there. The painting and cleaning, the assessment that we got from there, it's going to be about $500,000 to pay for that. It's part of TCQ as well as maintenance for it, again, for longevity to make sure that it lasts. That particular tower is in need. And part of that process, again, is going to be the safety ladder that's on there. They're going to strip all the paint off, repaint it. They're going to put those nice Kirby logos like y'all got on the chairs right there on the sides. So when you're driving down Seguin, you'll see City of Kirby on both sides, see our logo. So that's the first item. The second item is the gate and the fencing at the Public Works Yard. Originally, we have the motor and everything that was purchased for the Gaiety Yard and that gate. So essentially, what we're going to do is we're going to get that gate over there, take it to Public Works, and install the electric fence in there with a gate code on there. That would be able to give the employees that need access a code so they can pull in there, type in the code, gate will open, they'll go in, and we have the materials for that to get done. There's a few additional things that's going to require now that we have asphalt on there, but the cost is still the same. It went up a little bit. The other thing is we're going to go ahead and do the fencing and put vinyl on the fencing to, you know, that green screening that we have all the way around the yard. Well, we're going to go ahead and replace that because the wind, high winds tear that up, and we try to tie it, maintain it, but it keeps coming off. So we're going to go ahead and replace the vinyl throughout the fenced area so we can block off the Public Works Yard. And it's going to include the Turner Club fence out there. So there's going to be rehabbing on the fence and that as well. So that total cost for that item is $19,000. The next item is a well motor. Now, our city, we are able to function on one well. However, that's not the best case scenario. If we have one well running, it'll suffice. You know, disinfection levels are good. The pressure levels are good. It's fine. However, if that one well goes out, then we have a problem. We had a situation this year where our motor, which was a very old motor at well 2, went out. And we had a replacement motor, which we had installed. It was a few adaptations that needed to be made, but it was able to be installed and it's functioning. It's a brand new motor. That being said, the two motors at well 2 and well 3 are operational, work good, but it's a mechanical item, you never know. So what I'm asking for is for us to have a backup well motor on site here in our yard. That way, if we have an issue or a catastrophic engine motor failure, then we can get a contractor to come in and install the existing motor that we have. So the cost for that motor is $15,000, and that would cover whether well 2 or well 3 broke down. And it would, of course, be a brand new motor. We do have, we did have a backup motor, which is currently on well 2, and that's a new motor as well. So just to make sure that we are going above and beyond to make sure that we keep adequate pressure within our system. If we don't have any failures, we need to have a backup motor for both wells.
Do you have an adequate space or a place to store that motor?
Yes, yeah, there's plenty.
In the event that we do need it so that it's not weathered or...
Yeah, yeah, we can. We have a place in the shop. The original motor was actually in the impound yard in the building in there. We were able to store it in there, so it'll suffice. We could have it there, or there's areas in the shop. But I would much rather put it where the original motor was at within the building at the impound yard. So.
I mean, hopefully we won't have to use it, but if we did, I just wanted to make sure that if it's something that we chose to go with, that it was at least, you know, sheltered from the elements or...
Yeah, and they usually come in case and closed off in cellophane, so the moisture doesn't get in there. They're pretty well protected. The next item would be a truck, a 1500 Chevy Silverado, a 2020. Now, we went ahead and addressed the issues that we for the trucks that we had last year as well, but there are additional trucks that we have that need to be replaced. So what we did was we phased in the service trucks that we needed with the service bodies to make sure that the guys have everything they need. It's like a driving warehouse. That being said, now we need to phase out the older models that we have left there. So the truck that I'm asking for is not a service body truck. It's a standard V6 truck, not standard transmission, but a regular automatic transmission truck. And it's going to be a V6, so it'll kind of offset some of the costs. It'll be a newer engine, so it'll run better, and it'll help us with fuel economy. This truck will be used. It will not have a Tommy lift on it. It's just going to have a headache rack in the toolbox. Now, this is going to be used for such things as running and picking up items when needed. Also, when we do meter reading or small jobs here and there, it'll assist us. The truck that it's going to replace is a 2006, which is well beyond its time, actually. So we kind of need to go ahead and start phasing that out and moving forward with replacing the current trucks that we have. So
is the current truck, the 2006, is that also incurring garage fees?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the vehicles that we have that, well, not all of them. I mean, some are maintaining okay right now, but you can predict or kind of assume in the future that they'll start having more problems. As of now, that particular truck does have issues, and the toolbox, after a while, those toolboxes, they kind of rust on the bottom, and you can't use that particular bin anymore. So it's kind of just used basically for running right now. So it would make a lot of sense for us to replace it with a more economic vehicle and a newer vehicle that would have less cost on our vehicle maintenance throughout the year.
Strictly the water department, or would it be used for other?
That would be for water. I mean, because we really don't have any other need for anything else over there, so it would be for water and running for meter reading, turnoffs, you know, things like that where we need vehicles because the guys are, they're all doing it, so.
Any questions regarding this?
Thank you.
Final sheet, our discussion about additional employees for the fiscal year. We mentioned this in a prior meeting. So the first one would be adding one full-time code enforcement officer to the police department. And this calculation came out to $43,284.62. That includes the salary, taxes, and insurance at the starting pay currently. The second one, we currently have in our budget, and it actually falls under the administration department budget, we have a part-time custodian position. We have not been able to fill the position since December. We've had a couple of people we've interviewed, no one was interested in part-time, so we're continuing to advertise as a part-time position right now. We also got some cost estimates on, because I want to say it was just prior to me getting here, so it must have been the 13-14 fiscal year when cleaning services were contracted out, so before that position. So we did get some cost estimates on contract cleaning services, and that cost came in significantly higher than the part-time budgeted position right now. So the proposal was to consider changing the part-time position to a full-time position and moving that position out of administration into the public works department, specifically in parks, and make it a facility maintenance / custodian position so that they would not only have the cleaning duties of all of the various buildings, but also some responsibilities for maintenance on facilities that can be used if needed with mowing parks as well. And that cost is $33,174.41 at the starting pay for public works.
Is that an exempt or a non-exempt position?
They are non-exempt.
Any questions, Paul? All right, Tina has notes on here. You have notes about what you would like us to do with these pages. So. Well, it says you do.
Yes, ma'am, what I'd like you to do, if you want to, again, like Monique said earlier, if you want to include or not include that item, if you can do that sheet tonight, and I'll pick it up. And then I'll do the calculation to see where we are, where y'all are on it, and we'll go from there.
Right. Just in general, does anyone have any questions or things that they would like the departments to consider adding?
Yes, I was going to ask that. Thank you.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Oh, no, you're fine. I know that, there were several things, just brought up recent by residents. Mr. Schill had brought up, the area asking if we could look into possible that part at Peppermint that's in front of the well. When it's flushed or what have you, that it, he was actually talking because Amines was here at our meeting last week. And Mr. Schill had stood up for citizen participation and was asking specifically about that area, if there was any way it could be included in either the project for the bond or if it could be included in maintenance costs and for this. So I don't know if anybody was able to look at that. Is there anything else that anybody wants to see? Going once, twice. All right, well, that will include this, so I will adjourn our meeting. Thank you, everybody.